Libby Purvis, yachting month 3-4, June 09. There was a cri de coeur on scuttlebutt lately, which went straight to my heart, or what is left of my heart, after years of bitter betrayals by rogue sandbanks, misleading leading lights and folding dinghies that deliberately tip you in the harbour. A nice pair called L&M report that they have worked their way through competent crew, 1.5 day skipper courses and yachtmaster theory, with a bit of chartering in the med to follow. However, Mrs. L&M frankly admits that a Solent trip was marred by niggly arguments caused by a combo of stress of a first tidal charter and everything that can go wrong going wrong. They got caught near Jack in the Basket on a mooring in the middle of the dread Lymington Channel. They grounded at Newtown, albeit at low tide, so no problem. And Mr. L&M announced that he never wanted to go sailing again. And then there was the pontoon mooring, over the details of which a veil seems to have been drawn. Mrs. L&M speaks of a crisis of confidence in the skipper and wonders whether this is normal. Oh, sister, yes, indeed, it is. Normal, inevitable, sickeningly recognisable. Arguing, panicking, getting stuck and embarrassed and deciding never to do it again are all par for the course. Welcome to our world. Don't let the yacht club braggarts and all these strong, silent Tom Cunliffe types with their seaman-like prose fool you. They've all had their moments. The late, great Jeff Pack of this magazine once grounded sharply on a Solent sandbank in a 22-footer, and the rudder jumped out of its pintles and floated away, leaving Jeff ruefully saying, "And I'm the editor of Yachting Monthly." He was a transatlantic veteran and intensely competent, but a moment's inattention or misjudgment can make a fool of anyone. Or read my husband Paul Heine's account of his early days in Last Man Across the Atlantic. He was writing mainly about his single-handed transat, but remembering his first effort years before, launching a skipper dinghy on the tidal Thames, assisted by a cautious middle-aged lady friend in white suede boots, well, he only just struggled back to shore, and Daphne never came with him again. And it goes on. Once, in a complicated Irish bay, searching for an invisible marker boy on a dangerous rock, he shrieked, "We shouldn't be doing this, we're only fit for the Solent." Another time, the year after we'd safely sailed 1,700 miles round Britain with children of 5 and 3, we both looked at some grey waves and suffered a simultaneous collapse of confidence about taking them from Scilly to Ireland. I got off and took them over on the Cork ferry. Need I go on? Fear, embarrassment, self-doubt are all part of the cruising life. I have seen veterans, strong skippers with 20 years' experience, with strained white faces muttering, I don't know. I spent a furious night with a boyfriend accidentally moored by the stern halfway up the handle after catching a buoy rope under the rudder. I have personally cracked up in the Menai Strait in a Biscay gale in a hairy approach to New Haven in a force 7-2 with a heavy upturned dinghy dragging us towards the hard pier's side. I screamed, "Margaret!" and cut the rope. The skipper insisted for days afterwards that this hadn't been necessary. Why, only this spring we suffered extreme self-doubt when trying to get into a Chichester Creek at dead high water with 0.2 metres under the keel. Words were spoken. But you know what, L&M? We get over it. We get through it. Confidence grows slowly and cautiously. Overconfidence is as dangerous as none at all. And in the end, the satisfaction outweighs the fear, even in wusses like myself. You two have already made a great leap forward by accepting the vital truth that passing RYA exams does not make you invulnerable. And think what it is that we do in small boats. How extraordinarily unmodern and independent. This isn't caravanning on water. There are no signposts, no solid ground, no traffic lights, no option to stop on the hard shoulder, unless you go far enough offshore to heave to and sulk for a bit, as we have sometimes done. Wind and weather are unpredictable, and even the tides can foul up your classroom calculations if high pressure keeps the levels down. Remind me to tell you about the start of our first big cruise, 12 hours beneaped after going too far up the Dartmouth slipway to scrub, till a kindly workboat dragged us off by main force. Yacht cruising is a remarkable human achievement, alien to the culture of cowering, box-ticking, back-covering cowardice which we all live in. And it's great. And Mr. L&M will get over it. He will thumb his nose at Jack in the Box, and you two will sail on. Promise.